I want to take a few minutes and talk about our history. There is an appropriate origin for Thanksgiving. There's a very appropriate biblical origin for giving of thanks. But as a nation, this is a particularly unique and Christian holiday for us. In the fall of 1620, some people who were called by others as separatists had been looking for a home in which they would be able to freely worship the Lord. They had separated from the places of worship in England that they felt became too corrupted. They had actually gone to the Netherlands first and then finally caught a voyage on the way to a new land where they could dedicate a place to the worship of God and they could worship Him freely. It was 1620, and for 2 months, 102 pilgrims were wedged into what's become known as the tween decks of the Mayflower, the ship's cargo space, with only about 5.5 feet of headroom for 2 months. The pilgrims comforted themselves on the journey by singing the Psalms, the Book of Psalms. And this noise actually irritated one of the ship's hands and the paid crew members, and he literally told the pilgrims he would harass them with a terrible spirit. He was awful toward them, and he said, "I am looking forward to throwing your corpses overboard when you succumb to the illnesses that are common in our voyages." As it turned out, the only person who died on that journey was the one who was giving them such a terrible time. And his was the corpse that was thrown overboard. A little known fact about the Mayflower was that the ship normally carried a cargo of wine. And the spillage from the previous voyages had literally soaked the beams with the wine. And that actually acted as a disinfectant to prevent the spread of disease among the Puritans. The Lord knows. During one terrible storm, the main beam of the mast cracked, and death was literally certain for the pilgrims, and this voyage to seek a new land where they could worship the Lord freely would end up at the bottom of the Atlantic if there wasn't a quick repair. And someone remembered that by God's hand, they just happened to have on board a large iron printing press screw. And that screw repaired the beam, saving the ship and everyone on board. After 66 days of sea, they sighted land at Cape Cod, Massachusetts. And that was not the place where the pilgrims and the Puritans had desired to be. They intended to establish a new colony on the northern parts of Virginia, which they extended to the Hudson River in modern-day New York. But there were a couple of factors that interrupted their arrival. Winds had blown them severely off course. In addition, some other Englishmen had paid them to change the journey and the location, and so it actually took them to a point farther north. Despite the underhanded work that had taken place to get these pilgrims away from where they wanted to be, God was in charge, because where they landed was literally the only place probably on the eastern coast where they could have landed and not been killed immediately by the natives of the land. The only place. And it turned out that 15 years earlier, on the very place where they landed, disease had wiped out the Native American tribe that had lived there, and they were not going to occupy that place again. So God has His hands. How many understand that God guides you step by step? And we don't always know which way the journey will go, but He does. Aren't you glad He does? So, what we have happened then is the pilgrims suffer through their first winter. Literally half of their people die. Only four families remained intact. But God was still faithful. Because in the spring of 1621, He sent them a Native American who walked out of the woods one day, looked at them and said, in perfect English, "Welcome." His name was Squanto, and he had been a Native American who had been carried off captive by some English people, and he had become a slave in England. During that time, he literally mastered the English language. That was not a good thing, but God can work all things out for His good, can't He? When he was freed, he returned to his native territory. Yes, just like Joseph. He returned to his native territory on the Cape shortly before the pilgrims arrived. And he and another Indian friend named Samoset actually watched for several days as these Puritans tried to establish, or pilgrims tried to establish themselves in this place. Anyway, he comes out, he says, "Welcome." And he became a fast friend of theirs, taught them how to plant corn, and they repaid him by sharing with him the only thing they had to share, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Squanto actually died a couple of years after coming to the aid of the pilgrims. But before he died and before his death, he asked them to pray for him that he might go to be with their God in heaven. He introduced the other Indians around to the pilgrims. And these Indians were impressed. I know you've heard a lot of revisionist history, but the actual story goes that the Indians were actually impressed with these particular pilgrims' God, because these pilgrims were good of spirit and kind of spirit. And there were others who landed on these shores who were not in the same way. And in fact, over the last decade, this is off the chart here, but over the last decade, you have actually seen quite a number of repentance experiences within the body of Christ as people have asked forgiveness of the Native Americans and breaking treaties with them and things like that. God is a covenant God and doesn't like covenant breaking. Anybody understand that? Anyway, the pilgrims then enter into a time of drought, and we're in a time of drought now. And what they did is something we could take into account and consider right now. They set aside some time for prayer and fasting. And at the end of one day of prayer and fasting, a gentle rain fell from the sky and saved the entire corn crop. Now, the story or the understanding what the Indians took from this is they understood that the pilgrims' God was a very loving and caring God, because when they did a powwow dance around those times, the rains would come so hard it would literally break the corn stalks. But this was a gentle rain, and they saw a difference. It was that miraculous corn harvest in 1621 that provided grain for the pilgrims' first Thanksgiving meal with their Indian friends and helpers. And both pilgrims and Indians, in fact, they invited the Indians to come be with them. And how many showed up? Over 90 showed up, which literally put the hosts into a panic. Ever panicked because too many showed up at your party? I don't have enough dip. In this case, I don't have enough food. So the Indians brought a lot of foodstuffs, and they had a fantastic 3 days together in a Thanksgiving ceremony. These Bible-believing pilgrims were model Christians in their dealing with the native populations. During their first year on the Cape, Squanto acted as a friend and interpreter and assisted the pilgrims in setting up a treaty with the chief Massasoit, the leader of the nearby Wampanoag Indians. And the two populations, Indian and Pilgrim, lived together in the Treaty of Peace for more than 50 years. The story of Thanksgiving doesn't end there. The holiday itself was not officially celebrated until 170 years later, after the Revolutionary War had been won and our American Constitution had been adopted. In 1789, Congress approved the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. Congress then recommended a day of public thanksgiving and prayer. Why? Nowadays people say church and state can't even say the name of God. And their day of prayer and thanksgiving was to thank God for blessing America. I said to thank God for blessing America. Who's blessed America, folks? God has. President Washington declared November 26, 1789, as the first national day of prayer and thanksgiving to the Lord. Another 75 years later, after the Civil War had ended, President Abraham Lincoln officially established the last Thursday in November as a day to acknowledge the gracious gifts of the Most High God, which he had bestowed on America. Every president continued that tradition until in 1941, Congress officially made Thanksgiving a national holiday. And there's the history that needs to be passed on. Not just football games, not just pumpkin pie, not just Turkey Day, although we're grateful to have turkey, but Thanksgiving to God for his great benefit.